is up, everybody. Thanks again for joining me for another edition of Bauman's Breakdown. Mike Bauman with you as always. Thanks for checking out the show. Really excited to be back for this week's episode. It's actually a conversation that I had back in October with this guy when his album first came out, and I really, really enjoyed the record, and I really enjoyed the conversation, and that is Mr. Rain Wilder from my hometown of Toledo, Ohio. And really what I love about this dude is you can't pigeonhole him because he sings, he raps, and as you'll hear about in this conversation with his new album Vibes, there's a lot of things going on to the point where when they put it up on iTunes, I think they actually classified it as alternative because there's hip-hop elements, there's some rock elements, there's some piano in there, guitar. I mean, it's just the whole album ebbs and flows, and it's a really personal record. And one of the things that we talk about in this interview is just about, you know, the 333 tattoo that Rain, whose real name is Ryan Rolston, has, and his belief just in just positivity. And if you put positive vibes out there and positive things out in the universe and the law of attraction, whatever you attract, good or bad, comes back to you. So it was a really, it was a fun conversation to really kind of talk about that and go in depth, not only about the record, but just about just his beliefs in his own personal life and the things that he's dealt with. And what I love about this album is that he just pours his soul onto this record. It's really personal from a lyrical standpoint, and I think he came up with a lot of really good songs that people can relate with. And it's there's so many people that were involved in making this record. There's a lot of contributions. But what's also cool is Steve Dwyer from Once Over in Tropic Bombs. They worked together again on this one for at Axiom Sound, which is Steve's production studio. So it's just a lot of really cool elements coming together for this episode and why I'm so excited to bring this one to you guys. And, you know, and I do feel a sense of pride being from Toledo to see so many great things going on musically in my hometown. So anytime that I get a chance to share a local artist with you guys who I think is really doing some big things, and I think more of you guys are going to hear about Ryan and his sound. He's already done a tour overseas. You know, this guy's played shows locally for years now, and it's just really, really cool to see really where he's going with this and knowing where he wants to take it too. I mean, you know, like I said, this guy is just a phenomenal talent in my opinion, and what I think is so awesome, like I said earlier, is that, you know, he sings, he raps, he's not one dimensional, and I really hope you guys go check out Vibes from Rain Wilder because it's an incredible, incredible album. That being said, I hope you guys are having a good week. I'm doing great right now. I just had a great workout this morning. I'm feeling energized, which is why I'm so pepped up right now as I'm recording this one to you guys. So I hope you guys are doing great in your own lives out there in the world. You know, we're starting to get into warmer weather here in my part of the country, which is awesome. Even though I'm not a big fan of the humidity, you know, I'll take it over the snow and the cold we've had the last couple of years. So, you know, I'm still doing my thing, trying to get my name out there, trying to continue to come at you guys with new shows. This one, originally I was going to put up last week, but last few weeks at work I've been picking up more hours, trying to make a little bit more dough. Because actually at the end of the month, the band that I talk about all the time in this podcast, Tropic Bombs, whose music you hear at the beginning and the end of the show, and once again, make sure you go check out those guys, Tropic Bombs on Facebook. Go pick up their album, Nuclear Honeymoon. Really, really good band, and I'm not just saying that because they're my friends. They're awesome, and they have their own sound as well, mixing elements of reggae, rock, hip-hop. I mean, it's really good stuff. But, you know, Ryan and I have become friends. Ryan Wayton, the lead singer of Tropic Bombs, over the last few years. So I was really humbled that they invited me. He and his fiance Mandy, invited me to their wedding at the end of the month. So I'm really excited to go do that and be part of that in a few weeks here, and it's just actually inside of 2 weeks now. It's going to be a week from this upcoming Sunday. So anywho, I've been picking up some more hours at work and really just trying to make as much money as I can before I go take that drive, because it's actually about 5 hours away. It's going to be on Lake Michigan, and just it's going to be gorgeous, gorgeous. And on top of that, my internet at my house is really, really, really slow. So when I record these puppies, I do it at home. And then usually I'd go to like the local library like 5 minutes down the road because their internet's faster and I can actually upload the episodes. So anywho, regardless, I'm very humbled that you guys all over the world continue to check out the show. It's really cool because this thing was just birthed out of just a passion, as I always say, for wanting to share music with people and share people's stories. And I think when you guys listen to Rain's story here in a couple minutes when I shut my big yapper, you'll understand why I'm so excited about this one too, because I really think you guys are going to be able to relate to the record. Like I said, I really hope you check out Vibes, but just also kind of his own personal story and where he's coming from and his beliefs and just, you know, the whole concept behind Vibes and just positivity and the law of attraction and stuff. I mean, it's stuff that I think about a lot, and I'm always interested in different viewpoints from people and kind of what makes them tick. And I think he's got a really good outlook on life and where he's trying to go with his music and what he's trying to do. So without further ado, I'm going to shut my mouth and give you my conversation with Rain Wilder. Here it is. How long has music been something that you wanted to pursue? I mean, listening to some of your stuff to get ready for this, I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on. It's not just hip-hop. There's a lot of other elements. So for you, how long has this been something that you knew eventually one day you wanted to pursue?
I mean, I even remember sitting in class in third grade, like, listening to whoever I was listening to at the time, and just being, like, thinking in my head, like, I know I can create music as well, that, like, I thought to myself, like, I just knew that I can make music that people would want to hear too, like, I can do this, you know, and so, but I've just always been really interested in it. Started just writing raps and stuff like that when I was little, just I don't know, just trying it out, not really ever thinking I'd do something with it, just kind of, and then, when I was 15, 15, started going to high school, and there's some, you know, high school bands there, you know, like rock bands and stuff, and I kind of looked up to those guys. Like, oh, that's really cool. You know, they have a little band-based following. And so my dad started playing guitar a year before that, so I had him buy me a bass for my 15th birthday. My buddies had already been playing guitar, and our other friends had drums. So I got a bass, and we started a punk rock band called Generation Overdose, and played at, like, clubs around town here and stuff, and you know, parents drive us to the shows, and I was playing at clubs that my dad really didn't want me at, and so I had to kind of sneak behind his back to play at these places, and so, yeah, just started doing that, and then just evolved from one band to the next, and I was in rock bands, and kind of got hard to get all the bands together as serious as I was, how flexible I was at the time, and the things I was willing to sacrifice, you know, to do music, so I just decided to start doing hip-hop, solo, and I missed the rock roots, so, and I love singing, so I was like, well, just because I do hip-hop and rap, it doesn't mean I can't sing, so I started adding singing to it, and then it just kind of evolved into the style of now, which is actually the new album coming out. We actually have categorized under alternative as the primary genre, and then hip-hop is the secondary genre for the first time, just because I feel like this new album has more, like, they're like hip-hop beats, but they actually, like, you know, could be played by a live band, you know, the way the guitars and the pianos are and stuff, so I decided to just kind of switch the title of the genre up, because I don't feel like I'm straight rap or hip-hop, I feel like kind of an alternative version.
So at what point, you mentioned during this band and stuff, you started playing bass in it, and is it Ryan, so Ryan is your first name?
Yeah, Ryan's my legal name. Rain Wilder's my stage name.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know, like, when I first called you, I was like, I couldn't find what his first name was, so I I hope it's okay if I address him as Rain.
Yeah. I mean, for music purposes, yeah, just because that's the stage name, so people can't find my music by calling Ryan.
So, so what is your real full name?
Ryan Rolston. Rolston.
Rolston?
Yep, Rolston.
Okay.
Rolston, like the dog food, just a little different.
So when you started playing bass and you were doing the rock stuff, at that time, were you singing as well and rapping?
Yeah.
Or is that something that just kind of came out?
It was punk rock. It was like NoFX, Screeching Weasel influence, you know. I probably didn't really sing on key too well either, but, you know.
So how old are you now, Ryan?
I'm 33.
33? So this has been something that you've been doing for almost 20 years now?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you
17 years? Yep. Do you think about that?
Do you still remember your first show, either as yep. Rain Wilder or doing the punk rock stuff?
I remember the first show that I ever played, the Generation Overdose. It was at Wits End on Airport and Burn area, which they just tore the building down, I think, 2 weeks ago. And the first show was Rain Wilder. I really, honestly, don't remember that one. I don't remember the first one was Rain Wilder. I think it was at, the Club Beatty or something like that, but...
How did the stage name come about?
I wanted to think of a name that was kind of just a pen name that actors do. So I wanted to think of a name that sounded like a real person, but wasn't my real name. And I just, the name Rain always stuck around me. I don't know why. It just kind of came across the one day and just thought it was a cool name for a person. And the Wilder part, I just kind of wanted it to sound like it had alliteration. So, was actually just trying to think of a last name for it, and there was a movie on TV where one of the characters' last name was the same, Romancing the Stone. She came on, so there was a girl named Joan Wilder on there, and just kind of clicked with me, and told my friends, I think about calling myself this, and they all say, it sounds like a big, a famous name, so I just used it. And actually, funny enough, the first time I recorded a rap song when I was in high school, it was back when we had cassette tapes, and me and the guy recorded a song, and I still had it, and I pulled the tape out and written on it. It said, I called myself Brain back then, because I didn't know what my name was, and I completely forgot about that, so it was pretty weird to pull out a tape from, 12 years prior, and I was using the same name, Rain. I didn't even remember that, It's pretty cool. It's kind of what it was meant to be.
Where did you go to high school? What part of town did you grow up in?
I went to Whitmer.
Okay, so you West Toledo guy?
Yep. Yeah, I grew up the Central and Secor area.
Yeah. I grew up right off of Secor and Sylvania back in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right off of Eastbrook. That neighborhood goes all the way down to Douglas, and I grew up a couple streets right in there off of Eastbrook.
Oh, okay. Yep, same area, man.
Yeah, so Whitmer is where I would have went, but my mother preferred that I went to Catholic high school, so I ended up at Central, which was all right, but...
Yeah, my brother went to St. Francis. He turned out better than I did, so...
Now, over the years, as you've been doing this, too, you've shared the stage with a lot of pretty big names, in hip-hop especially. What do those shows do for you as an artist who's trying to get your name out to more people? What were those experiences like, and did any relationships or any feedback or anything come out of any of those shows over the years?
Relationships with the artists or with fans?
Both.
I've gotten a lot of diehard fans from opening for big names. One thing it taught me, though, is a lot of people think, I'm opening up for Wiz Khalifa, I'm going to be huge after this. You realize that people really don't, they're there to see the main artist, they're not there to see the opening act, so, buying on, paying $1,000 to open up for someone, which I've never done, but people do it, so, paying money to open up for an artist really doesn't do crap for you. No one really remembers who you are. You reach a couple of people, but, I opened up for Mike Posner at pretty much a sold out show, and I got fans from it. I don't think I was as good back then as I am now, but I got fans from it, and you get fans here and there from every show that end up coming to your show later on. But it taught me some of these artists are really nice, and that's who I want to be like, and some of them are big jerks and they have big heads and they think they're God, and I don't want to be anything like them. So it taught me how I want to be perceived to fans. I'm not gonna name any names, but there's an artist I really liked, and now I can't even listen to him because after I met him, he's such a cock. I just can't listen. I can't even bring myself to put a song of his on, and I used to love the guy. But after that, no, I don't. So it's taught me how I want to act towards other people, and but like I said, also taught me that unless you like buy onto a big tour and you're on tour every night, like opening up for, I'll say Wiz Khalifa again, you know, like you won't get, that's the only way opening up for a big name, if you're on tour with the same person every night, but just doing one show in your hometown, and it's not really going to do much for you.
So
I've opened up for a lot of big names, and it's been fun, but I don't really think it's really, you know, taking me to where I need to be, obviously.
And one thing that I saw that was cool, too, because I always look at the artwork and stuff, because I'm a music nerd. Like, I still, eventually, one day, I'd love to get, like, an old record player and start doing, you know, everything that I have transferring over to vinyl, just because I like that experience of, like, getting it. Because I'm 26, so I'm not too much younger than you, so I still remember that when I was growing up. Like, when I first started to get CDs, I thought that was so cool to open it up and look at the artwork and listen to
read
it.
Read the lyrics and all that.
Yeah. And I still do that, too. So when I was looking up stuff about you and I saw the artwork for Wildfire and I saw the 333 thing, I was like, what? I wonder what that is. And then I listened to that song, and you were talking about sort of the balance between mind, body, and soul, which was cool to me, too, because I think that there's a lot of balance in your music, too, with all the different elements, with piano, guitar, and singing. Like, it's, there's a lot going on. But when did you first start to either, like, see that number or start to kind of notice sort of that stuff going on in your life?
I don't. You know, it's a good question. I don't know when I started seeing the number. I started seeing it a lot, and I just kind of, I really got involved in, like, learning about sacred geometry and the law of attraction. I don't know if you know what that is. And, like, stuff like that, and, like, old things, like, in physics that the world's been kind of forced to forget about. Like, you know, if you really think about something and really focus on it hard enough and really, really want it, the universe will magnetically bring it to you. And I believe it really works, just because, I mean, I've proved it to myself time and time again. So I just started noticing the number, and then I noticed Yellow Wolf would talk about the number. So I was like, well, that's kind of weird. So I looked it up, and I saw what it meant. And then I started seeing it more and more. I see it every day. So, like, in that album, when you hear me talking about 333, I'm actually talking about a conversation that me and Yellow Wolf had backstage one day. But I just didn't want to put his name in the CD and, like, be name dropping like that. So I kind of cut that part of the, that was a radio interview in the UK I did, and I just kind of cut his name out of it when I put it on the CD. But, I just started looking it up, and I told him it meant the perfect balance of mind, body, and soul. He told me how it meant the Holy Trinity, and I didn't know that, but we kind of taught each other something about it. And when we met, we both had 333 tattooed behind our ears, so that was kind of coincidental. And, but yeah, I just kind of got into that whole, you know, just different way of thinking, and I always kind of felt like there's plenty of instances I should have been dead and wasn't. So finding out that when you see 333, it means your guardian angels are around you, kind of made me believe it. So.
Yeah, are you familiar with mental alchemy at all? Have you ever read anything about that?
I know what alchemy is, but I never heard of mental alchemy.
Yeah, that it's kind of in the similar vein of about positive thinking and how that like your energy kind of leads to that. And it was really weird because I was flipping the channels a few months back when things for me personally were kind of, I mean, they weren't bad, but I was working at this job that wasn't super fulfilling, and I was kind of wondering, you know, I was paying the bills and stuff, but I had kind of taken a break from writing at that point. I was kind of wondering, all right, where's my place? I'm 25 now. What am I doing? And they had that one show where it's not like Candid Camera, but it, like, they'll have people out in public, and they'll be actors, and they'll do something that should spark stuff from, like, perfect strangers. So maybe there's, like, a kid that like they're making fun of in, like, a pizza parlor or something, and they're wondering if anybody's gonna, like, stick up for them. And then at the end of it, they kind of, you know, they reveal themselves and they say, hey, this is what's going on. And they're basically, make a long story short, there's this kid that he was helping this guy, this actor who he didn't know was an actor, who was dressed like a Muslim and had, like, the turban on and everything, change his tire on the side of the road, and it was in a big city, and everybody kept walking by the guy because they were like, no, screw this guy. and he was helping him, and the guy was like, oh, thank you so much, and the kid talked about once they, you know, revealed that, oh my god, look at this, like, 15-year-old kid helping this dude change his tire, and he had a tattoo of the Mental Alchemy thing on his arm. So then I looked up something about it, and like I said, I was just channel flipping, and one of the first things that I read about it was, this will reveal itself to you, the concept of this will reveal itself to you at a time in life when the time is right. And it, like, gave me chills, because I was like, it was so weird how I had just been, like, channel flipping, saw that part of that episode, and then read that and saw that line about it. So it was, that's kind of why I wanted to ask you about the mind-body-soul balancing.
Same thing, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, I thought that was cool with the different stuff that you had going on in your music. And for you, I wanted to ask you too, is it, it kind of seems like, obviously, when you do these songs, that it's what the song dictates, but I also feel like that can be challenging as an artist sometimes when you have different elements in your music and you're trying to, like, balance all those things. So for you, whether it's the piano or guitar or singing or rapping, I mean, how has it been for you as you've developed your sound as an artist to balance those things in your music over the years?
I just feel like, music kind of tells me what's right, or kind of tells me too much, and I can never make a decision, so I just kind of sit there, like, I feel like I have writer's block, but I don't. So it's not writer's block, it's like, I know I can do this or that or that, so I just don't try to do anything, and I just kind of let it sit until the time's right. And usually I found that, like, it's better for me to rap verses, and choruses are always, I mean, no one can ever say a rap chorus can be as big as a singing chorus. That's just no way. It can't happen. So, like, I want big choruses and hit songs are based around catchy hooks, and, I mean, for a majority, you want those to be singing choruses. So I usually try to sing my chorus. There's two songs on the new album where the new album's coming out Tuesday on my website, but it's going to be out on iTunes on the 14th, and then the physical copy I won't have till, like, the week of the 20th, just because it takes time to print them.
Right.
Kind of had a printing error. Well, not a printing error, but a mixing error. So I like to have bigger choruses, so I just kind of, as a rule, I just try to sing the choruses and make them big as I can, and try to rap the verses. So, but like I said, this album, I got two songs on there where there's no singing on them at all, but they called for it. The beats really didn't require singing.
Yeah, and then that's why, is Vibes your, this is your third full-length now?
Actually it's my fourth, but the first one I kind of made disappear from the world, because it was just, I just can't listen to it anymore. It's just, it just wasn't what I should have been doing, you know? It was the first time out of the rock band to me experimenting. It's just production-wise, like, the recording was a good quality, but the lyrics were good, the beats weren't so good, and just kind of boring. So that album was called Hard Time Standby, and then I came out with Birthplace of Aviation and then Wildfire. So that's technically my fourth, but third to the world, yeah.
Yeah, what's the sort of the concept behind Vibes and stuff? Because when I saw that, I actually thought it was kind of funny, because I always joke about that with my friends, like, when we're out and about good vibes and bad vibes and stuff. And
yeah, I just think it kind of goes along with me studying more, like I said, the power of attraction, the law of attraction, power of now, and just about how everything is vibes. Like, people don't believe it, but, you know, like, even my girlfriend, she's like, you know, she'll say, I can't do that, or something like that. I was like, take that out of your vocabulary. If you tell yourself you can or you can't, you're right. You just don't get it. But it's like, you tell yourself you can't, you're going to make it, though. You're not, so you can't. Like, I want $500,000 house. I'm going to tell myself I'm going to get that, and I'll have a better chance of getting it that way, you know? So, just Vibes, the album was originally called Notebook of Matches, and I was going to have the whole outside be like a matchbox, and then when you flip it open and pop the CD out, there's going to be like five sticks of matches behind the CD with the song titles written on the matchsticks, because it was originally going to be like a five song EP. But then after that, I was like, yeah, I got Wildfire, Notebook Disc, kind of like the same fire concept, and I don't know, it's just after the song started taking shape and the whole vibe of the album started coming together, it just didn't feel right to call it that anymore, and I wrote that song Vibe. It's like, you know, the one five-letter word, simple title, just, you know, it just made sense, so I just changed it.
How is this one? I mean, obviously, you know, life kind of imitates art, and your experiences lend themselves to the songs you make. But for you on this record, what is this one compared to the last couple that you've put out in terms of where you are right now in your life, and what kind of songs people can expect on this one?
With Birthplace of Aviation, it was more, I really wasn't anywhere in life, and so I was kind of, the songs weren't really, I was just kind of picking stuff out of the air to write about, not really anything too, I mean, there were some things that were personal on there, but not really. Wildfire, I had like 4 songs written, and then I went through a huge bad breakup, as you can probably tell on the album, so I was really inspired to finish that, like, quick after that, so that was really inspired by, like, bad relationship, and Vibe is more of me. It's more of me talking about my personal struggles of trying to make it in music, and you know, the things going on in my head. And there's a song specifically I say the chorus is, until I broke down the wall between me and myself, because I couldn't count on anyone else. So it's kind of like me breaking down the walls between me and myself, and the obstacles that I put up for myself. And about, it's just more about me, like personally. I love it. Like, just a couple of my friends have heard it, and they just can't say enough good things about it. I'm really, really excited to put it out. It's different. It's as catchy and as good as Wildfire, but it's its own life. It has one song in there that's like a relationship, quote unquote, song that probably could have fit on Wildfire, but other than that, it's all just basically about like self help and, like I said, you know, the law of attraction and stuff like that, and you know, just the positive stuff, you know.
Yeah, and it seems like you kind of lend or lean on that a lot, and at least in a lot of the songs that I heard, there seems to be more of an uplifting type of vibe.
Yeah,
to it.
This one's more like telling people, like, you know, there's a song called Retrospect that talks about all my past mistakes, about you know, when I was younger dealing drugs and getting arrested and being up for a lot of time in jail, and my lawyer not getting me no jail time, but I didn't know, like, but the courses, but I didn't know no better. So basically saying, like, I made this mistake, I made that mistake, I've done this, I've done that, but I didn't know no better, like, you know. So it's basically uplifting, like, saying it's okay, like, you know, everyone has a life, everyone makes mistakes, and learn from it, and so a lot of the album is just about, like, helping people the same. I've gone through this, and I've done that, and you know, you can make it through it, too.
For you, what if you don't mind me asking, you know, and you don't have to answer, but what was?
Yeah, I'm an open book. Okay.
What I mean, what was the low point for you? And now at 33, how were you able to kind of pull yourself from that and go on this journey that you've been on as far as your music and being able to help people through your music?
I had a couple low points. One was like when I was in my early 20s and me and my friends all got really into cocaine. We'd just go to the bar and do a lot of coke, and that was our life for a while. And I was selling drugs, so we always had it and was always free. And I was just doing that just because I was young and dumb, and a bunch of failed relationships. And I was at a point where I was, you know, felt like I was the type of person where I had to have someone in my life to feel like I was worth anything. And, you know, if I wasn't dating someone or wasn't, which to make myself whole or whatever. So, like, that was my down point, because I just kind of seemed like I could let other people control my happiness and stuff. And so one day I was just sick of it, and I, you know, just started, so, you know, this is me, this is my life, and whatever, my experience, and however people treat me have nothing to do with how I feel on that side, and what I can achieve. And, you know, so many nights I was just like, or days I was just like laying on the couch or laying in bed just because I was upset about the way someone treated me or someone's opinion on me. And being a musician, you can't worry about that, because the bigger you get, the more haters you're going to get. The more, I even say on the song Rise, you know, now I got opinions pinned on the internet from underachievers telling me that I better quit, that I'll never make a light shine, not a little bit, so I had to get a matchstick and a flame lit to bring light to their lying eyes that I know they tried to hide, but I realized snakes when they're slithering, that means they're cool to your face, but will turn and say anything on their phone twittering under a fake handle and comment on your YouTube channel with the constant battle with the bully panel. Wish I could reach to the screen and slap you. You know, but but no right mind puts out bad vibes. Like, so, like, just the thing you realize, like, the bigger I get, there's gonna be people talking shit, and there's people on my YouTube page and Twitter, and just don't worry about it. I just ignore it now. So basically, you know, don't let, whether it's a relationship or fans or haters, just don't let anyone control what you think of yourself or how you're gonna act that day. Just do what you want to do.
Who did you work with on this one, Ryan?
Work with as in production or recording or what?
Yeah, as far as like the production and then if there's anybody else on the songs and stuff.
Production-wise, I worked with the one guy who did a lot of the songs on the last album in cinema. He did only one beat on this album. And then another guy named Platinum Seller. I don't know why he calls himself that, but Platinum Cell, or PS Beats, I guess is what he likes to be called. So, those two were produced my last, some songs in the last album, but the new album has 10 songs, and 6 of them are done by a guy named VTZ. The letters VTZ. He's a guy from Dayton, and just his beats sounded really cohesive together, and I wanted the album to sound more of like one work, of, you know, one piece. So I used a lot of his music. And I have exclusive rights to all of this, so it's all I own, all of it, so it's paid top dollar for them all. And so I worked with ETZ, which is a change from my last album, and that's probably my most exciting thing because I love his music. And feature-wise, Alaz, A-L-A-Z, he's a Toledo guy. He recently did a song with Crooked Eye from Slaughterhouse and Ritz from Strange Music. So he's on there, and then my friend Asen, which is spelled A-A-S-E-N, and then the last name is B-L-O-E, he's on 2 songs, so I have people featured on 3 songs. Asen's on 2 of them, and then A-Laz is on another one, and then that's it. No female singers this time. We have a sample from Christina Aguilera on the song called Smoking Gun, which is actually premiering on 100.7 The Zone tonight. So we use Christina Aguilera sample on that beat, which is also produced by VTV. And that's it.
And for you, man, as an artist from Toledo, and thanks again for taking the time, dude. I really appreciate it.
Oh, for sure.
As an independent artist from this town, I think over the last couple of years that I started to do music features when I got done with school in the area, especially with like Tropic Bombs, who are all good dudes. And like
actually, I recorded my album with Pete Dwyer, the drummer from Tropic Bombs.
Yeah. So you did this one with him, like as far as the recording.
He recorded every one of the Rain Wilder songs ever made.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Steve's a good dude, man.
Oh, yeah. He just moved to Fort Wayne, which sucks, because it kind of put a damper in finishing this album up, so I had to go do a couple things at my friend Dave's house to finish the album up. He got a new job, so he had to move, but he's back every weekend, but it's kind of hard to get us together, so.
And they're going to be at the release party show, right?
Yeah, Once Over will be. Not Tropic Bombs, just Once Over.
Yeah. But for you as a guy from Toledo, I mean, having grown up in this town, obviously economically people struggle here, but there also are a lot of like really hardworking people here. For you and all the stuff that you've been through and just seeing the artists over the last couple of years, it seems like there's more of a collective here that people kind of go to each other's shows and support each other. But for you, what's the greatest part as a guy who's trying to make it in the music industry about being from Toledo and how has that affected the music that you make?
The best part about being from Toledo is if I make it, I'll be one of the only who's done it. So it's really hard to make it out of here, and it makes me feel like I tried harder. It's like, I know there's more competition in L.A., but there's also more doors in L.A. and in New York, and that's where the industries are at. But I'm not that type of person to live in New York or L.A. or just, I couldn't have, that's just, I would kill people in traffic. Like rush hour, I would go on a killing spree. So, I just couldn't do it. And, so I just think I'll be more proud of myself when I make it out of here, because, I mean, my lawyer is Howard Hertz, who is Eminem's lawyer. I never thought I'd even be able to say that. So, like, I'm moving up, but I still have a lot of ways to go. I think it's harder to make it from here, but I'll be more. I think it would mean I worked 200 times harder than that rapper from LA who had one hit because he lived in LA, you know?
Yeah.
They have more competition, like I said, more competition, but they have more options, too. There's more outlets there, you know? Record labels are all right there. There's scouts going out to the bars and drinking at night and randomly could be out at the bar, you know, just drinking, pick up an artist, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really have that here. It's just kind of really got to work. Which sucks. Probably why I'm 33 and still aren't famous, but I think this will be our year, hopefully. This new album is really good, and we got some good things going on that we're working on right now, so.
Yeah, are you planning on doing any regional touring or anything like that when this comes out?
Yeah, that's what we're working on right now. We've just got an investor who's going to, saying he's going to invest a lot of money, which would be enough to buy me on to basically any tour I want, so, like, indefinitely. So, hopefully, yeah, that goes through. It's all about having the money these days, so you got to have the money to do it, so.
And you went over to Europe a couple of years ago, too, right?
Yeah, well, the UK, England, yeah. Yeah, so we went to England, did a two-week tour over there. That was awesome. And I did a Warp Tour, the Detroit Warp Tour I did this summer. And then I'm doing South by Southwest in Texas in March, and I'm doing all Warp Tour next summer. So
you will be at South by this year?
Yep.
That's got to be pretty cool, man, because that's been getting a lot bigger, even from like a film perspective, even over the last couple of years. There's been
a lot of people connected with music, but actually it's a film fest too. They do the film fest for like 3 days or 5 days or something like that, and they do the music part. So
yeah, that.
So, yep, I the stage that Warped Tour that I did wanted me on it all next year, and then everybody who's on that stage also, we have a stage at South by Southwest. So like, it was kind of a two-for-one thing. So I went up there, did one show on the Warped Tour, and the guy said, hey, you want to do Chicago tomorrow? And I couldn't, but I had to go to work because I had work off that day to be able to, so I was able to play it. So I couldn't go do the Chicago show, and then they asked if I wanted to do all next summer. So it's one of the smaller stages. It's not one of the huge stages, but whatever, it's Warped Tour.
yeah. Everybody starts somewhere, man. Was that exactly. Was that at Detroit just this year?
Yeah, the Palace. It was in the Palace parking lot.
How did the show go? I mean, did you feel like...
Oh, it was awesome, dude. You can YouTube Rain Wilder Warped Tour, and my whole, like, the whole day, like, the whole set and everything. You can watch it all.
Cool, man. Well, dude, I can't thank you enough again. I told you I'd keep you for 15 minutes, and I've talked to you now for like a half hour. So.
Oh, that's fine, dude. You're doing me a favor by putting me out there. This is part of my job.
Alrighty, Dighty. There you have it. That was Rain Wilder. Really hope you guys enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Ryan is such a good dude. Rain Wilder, a.k.a. Ryan Rolston, awesome guy, really good, very, very, very talented musician, and it's really cool when I get a chance to bring those types of shows to you guys, just because, like I said, especially in this situation, you know, this is a guy who just loves music, and it's been part of his life for a really long time, and I think what's really cool is just how unique what he's doing is, in my opinion, because... You know, I'm a guy that's a huge metal fan, as you guys know, and I'm sure as you've been able to pick up on just from the guests that I've had over the years on the show, you know, I'm really into hard rock and heavy metal. That's just kind of the realm that I've come from. I grew up with 80s pop and Sting and the Police, you know, and Earth, Wind & Fire from my mom and, you know, Talking Heads, all those bands. And then on my dad's, you know, his musical influences and the stuff that he listened to, he was big into like classic rock, you know, Van Halen, Boston, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He was really big into Eric Clapton. So, you know, growing up, those were the influences that I had. And then in the early 90s, my mom was really into Pearl Jam. She got really into Pearl Jam. They ended up becoming one of my all-time favorite bands. I was blessed to have the opportunity to cover their concert in Detroit back in October. It's one of the top 10 moments of my life by far. My only regret with that is I didn't know that their media rep was going to hook me up with two tickets. So I was like five rows from the floor, you know, maybe about 40 feet from the stage on the right-hand side, and I had two tickets, and I was the only one that went. Wah, wah, wah. I shouldn't have assumed I was only going to get one. And that just goes to show you how freaking cool Pearl Jam is, man, that they, you know, if you go want to go cover the show, you know, they hooked me up big time. That was so awesome. But that was one of the greatest moments of my life. It was so cool. Just to see a band that you grew up with and that you loved and to see them in person. I tell you people all the time, and I'll say it to you guys too, if you have an opportunity to go see your favorite band or musical artist live, do it. Do it. Even if nobody wants to go, don't pull that, well, I don't want to go by myself. Listen, as I've said on the show before too, some of the greatest concerts I've been to, I've gone to by myself. I went and saw Seven Dust and Nothing More in Illumira by myself, right down the street from my house, like literally 5 minutes down the street of Headliners in Toledo. I saw Killswitch Engage on the Alive or Just Breathing tour when Jesse Leach joined the band, came back into the band. That's my favorite Killswitch Engage album. I saw that one by myself because two of my best friends, Chad and Dave, and I think I've mentioned that on this show before too, decided they wanted to go to Cleveland to go to a Browns game. They got tickets real cheap. They had a good time, but I still think they made a poor decision because for $20, they could have seen all of our Killswitch Engages, all of our, one of our top five, you know, top favorite bands, you know, what do you want to say, top five, whatever. We all love Killswitch Engage. They're one of our favorite bands collectively. We have multiple albums from them. And that's my favorite Killswitch Engage record. Got a chance to talk to Mike D to do a feature story before that show, which was really cool. He was really down to earth. I probably could have talked to him longer, but I didn't. You know, I try to be respectful of people's time, you know, when I interview him. But he was just such a nice guy, and it was an incredible show. And that show was Killswitch Engage, Shadows Fall, who was great live. And then who was before Shadows Fall? Akaro was also on that show, which I don't think they're playing shows anymore because their lead singer had twins recently. And he said, you know what, I love music and I'm not quitting music, but I got a family now. And I respect that so much because those guys were great guys. They were talking to everybody after the show. I think that was their first national tour. But The Disease of Fear was that record that Akaro had, and I think Mike D actually did the artwork for that. So if you're not familiar with Akaro, A-C-A-R-O, go pick up The Disease of Fear, because that's a freaking awesome album too. But anyway, so, you know, getting a chance to do this episode really made me excited because, you know, Rain Wilder is a guy he's a staple in the Toledo scene, you know, but as you heard, you know, he's a guy that he got a chance to do a UK tour, and he's really trying to make this into something, and I just really love this record because I love what's going on even right now in my hometown because, you know, these guys, Tropic Bombs, Rain Wilder, Once Over, Goodbye Blue Skies, all these local bands, they play on shows together, and it doesn't matter what end of the musical spectrum they come from, they all support each other, and it's a really kind of community-type vibe right now. It's not like people are trying to be, like, you know, the best band in Toledo and screw everybody else. I mean, they all really support each other and go out to each other's shows. Stretch, who's been on here, and they're all really talented. So it makes me really proud to share this stuff with you guys. But I went off on a little tangent there, like I always do. But I think what I was trying to say is just you know I came from sort of like I said, 80s pop, classic rock. Then my oldest brother Brandon was really into metal. He's 6 years older, so in the mid-90s, you know, you're talking about Korn, Machine Head, Metallica, all these bands. You had Disturbed starting to come about, and then you had the whole, what ended up being coined as the new metal movement in the late 90s with Limp Bizkit and all those bands. So, but he was really into Korn and Metallica, and so that's kind of how I started getting heavy stuff, and as I got older, I just sort of found that, you know, that was the stuff that really spoke to me the most. So I've never really listened to a whole lot of hip-hop just because it wasn't part of, you know, my household growing up, from the stuff that, you know, I had influences, you know, from with my mom and my dad, you know, because when you're a kid, you know, when you're 7 years old, you're not, you know, getting in the family sedan and driving down to Best Buy or the local record store to pick up a record. You're pretty much listening to whatever your parents listen to and whatever you hear on the bus, you know. So it was like top 40, whatever my parents listened to, what my older brother listened to when he would come over. And then as I got older, you know, started watching MTV and stuff, that's, you know, between that and kind of wanting to be like my older brother because he was into heavy stuff, then I started to see, you know, TRL played a lot of Korn, they played POD. I mean, so they played Incubus. All those bands were kind of lumped in to that show, which is why it was so cool and why I have a lot of respect for Carson Daly. So then I started to kind of get into that, and then radio rock. And then, like I said, I always just sort of gravitated to the heavy stuff. Mark Tremonti, who's been on this podcast, one of my favorite guitarists of all time. He has his own sound. When you hear it, you're like, that's Mark Tremonti. And so, you know, I started to get into to Creed when I was younger, and then Alter Bridge just like blew me away because Miles Kennedy, I think, was not on a lot of people's radar, and now he is, and deservedly so, because to me he's got the best voice on the planet, hands down, and he's an incredible guitar player. So, you know, then as I got into college, I started to get into more, you know, Death Punch and Trivium. I started to get into more of the hardcore vocal type stuff, which I'd never really listened to before. And now I listen to all kinds of like Monstro and Explosions in the Sky and Exit Calm and, you know, all the psychedelic stuff. I love the Deftones. I'm a huge fan of Chino's voice too, and you know, his projects, Crosses, and then Palms with the guys from Isis. I mean, so I listen to a lot of different stuff. And when it comes to hip hop, really the stuff that I like, I mean, my favorite rap song of all time is Rough Riders Anthem from DMX. Like I love that song. I know pretty much all the words to that song. Me and one of my best friends in the whole world, Justin, we used to listen to that. But yet, so hip hop was just, like I said, it's not that that I don't think it's good. It's not that I don't think rap is good. It's not that, you know, sometimes it's, I think we get really divisive when we talk about music sometimes. And, you know, there's a lot of separation between the genres and stuff, which I don't think is cool. So, you know, for me, I just want to make it clear. It's not that I don't like hip hop or I don't like rap. It's just that from the stuff that I grew up with and what I was exposed to growing up, and then the vein of music that just speaks to me the most has always been the heavier stuff. I don't listen to a lot of hip-hop, and I really do like early 90s hip-hop a lot. You know, I love Arrested Development. Mr. Wendell, I think, is one of the best-written songs in the top 20, in my opinion, that I've ever heard, and a lot of people might, you know, say what they will about that, but I think it's a beautiful song. I really loved what they did. I loved what they talked about in their music. You know, stuff like De La Soul, I mean, Tribe Called Quest. I just think that stuff, like the early 90s stuff, was really cool. And so listening to Rain's album, Circling Back Around, I really enjoyed it because, like I said, he brought in a lot of different elements on vibes. He's a great singer. He has an incredible voice. His lyrics are really powerful. They mean something to him. And I think there's a lot of stuff on there that a lot of people who check it out will be able to relate to. And I think that's what's cool about music is, you know, a guy like me who doesn't listen to a lot of hip hop. I mean, I really, really, really like this record. And I think that's really just what's so powerful about music is especially the lyrical content on this, like I said, because with as well as produced as it was and how great the beats are and just the different elements, like I said, the piano and the, you know, there's guitar, all different kinds of sounds in this record. At the heart of it, you can tell that Rain is really honing in on his craft and really believes everything that he's saying. And I think that's something that, you know, you got to respect no matter what genre somebody's part of, is if they really, what they're talking about in their songs is stuff that they really feel from the heart. And this dude comes from the heart on this. So I really hope you guys check out Vibes. You can get it on iTunes. You can probably pick it up at most digital online retailers, and you know, and just hit them up. I mean, go to rainwilder.com, RAINEWILDER, Rainwilder. You can also follow him on Facebook at Rainwilder Music, on YouTube, Rainwilder Music. Subscribe to his channel on YouTube, rainwilder.bandcamp.com, and on Twitter, I believe he is Rainwilder7, at Rainwilder and the number 7. So please go check out Vibes and go check out his other stuff too, man. Go check out Wildfire. Go check out his older stuff too. This dude is awesome. I really appreciate the time, Rain. Thank you so much. So happy to finally be able to get your stuff out here on the podcast. And guess what? Rain Wilder was so cool that he allowed me to use a song from Vibes to give to you guys on this show, which is so awesome because beyond the conversation and the story, you know, I always, if possible, I'd love to be able to share the music with you guys too. You know, obviously, I hope that you go check it out on your own. Once again, go pick up Vibes. You will not regret it. It's an awesome record. But when I get a chance to put a song on the podcast too, it just, I get geeked out about that too. And the song that I picked was one that I really enjoyed. It spoke to me a lot the first time I listened to it. By the end of the song, you're already singing the chorus, and I think you guys are going to know what I'm talking about when you hear it. Thanks again for listening. Follow me on Twitter at Mike V. Baumann. If you'd love to have your band or your art, you know, music on this podcast, if you're a band or an artist, wherever you're from, please get in touch with me on Twitter. You know, send me a direct message or whatever, and just say, hey, I checked out the show. I'd love to get my band's name out there, and trust me, I will do my best, because I love listening to new music. I love checking out new stuff. I love having an open mind and being positive, and music is a very positive force in my life, and I hope it is in yours too. That's why this album Vibes is so awesome. That's why Rain's so awesome, and that's why I love trying to bring this stuff to you guys on the podcast. So I mean it when I say it. It's not just because I want more followers. I don't really care about that. It has no meaning in my life, whether I got 2 followers on Twitter or 2 million followers on Twitter. But if you're a band or you're an artist and you like this show, please get in touch with me, because I'd love to have your music on here. But the song that you guys are going to get from Rain Wilder on this podcast is Me and Myself. Like I said, by the end of it, you guys will be singing along. It's a great song. It hit me at a personal level, and I hope it hits you at a personal, visceral level too. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Keep the faith and be kind to one another. And now, off of Vibes, the latest album from Rain Wilder, here is Me and Myself. Peace.
Apparently clear reflections of me as assaulty. In my eyes I'm looking at it, a well-raised man turned damn near tragic. Became a victim of my bad choice, but all along God gifted me a glad voice. So I made it being drugged through the mud, made it through the struggles, then I struggled through the drugs. Then I drug out my struggles in a way that I could halt them. Was made aware positive thoughts could alter. My body's aura like the color of your mood rang. Align my chakras, I am on to some new things. A vibe, Molly type of good vibe, hotter than Jamaica sun bathing by the shore side. But I used to be the vicious tide, rising up your alleyway too high for you to climb. I had to return to myself, my soul was on vacation like it dwelled in hell. I would never expect for you to ever tell, but I'd like to confess as I reflect as well. My soul was on vacation like it dwelled in hell. I would never expect for you to ever tell, but I'd like to confess as I reflect as well. Until the next step, can't keep tripping. Focus on your breath and on this minute. Envision your test and your mission. Forget the outcome, it's already written. I'm just sitting back, waiting for the side effect to kick in. Aside from that, I've been content with my decision. I'm writing facts, looking back like I miss it. Once I go back, my life is forward driven. Mine's a motorcycle ridden at the distance of a light year. Thought speed might break the sound barrier. If you're sitting down now, I'm kicking out your chair. You wanna be on top, you wanna stare at the stairs. I've been aware to be aware. I've seen through every single sideways stare. I should know why my poor, I've seen it in the mirror. It's been a long time since I broke down the walls between me and myself. Since I broke down the walls between me and myself. Because I couldn't count on anyone else. So I broke down the walls between me and myself. Lessons led me to write blessings. I chilled all night stressing with questions, second guessing. If I'm secure with these insecurities, it all became a blur. I was struck a nerve in me. When I was sad inside, I wasn't satisfied. Threw my hang-ups off the cliffside and watched them hang glide. If I followed their lead, that'd be a cliff dive. A sure suicide, a far cry from an eternal lie. So I write, it's a chance for me to tell my story. But I'm not always sure if they're ready for testimony. Not always sure if they're really ready to face the glory of how I walked out dry when it had been storming. Cause at my base, I keep my faith. My conscience was unconscious for years, now I'm awake. For my sake, thank God I don't vibrate at a negative level. That's a devil's face in the shake. Down the walls between me and myself.